May it please the court, good morning, Your Honors. Michael Kern on behalf of Miguel Gomez Ayala. With your permission, I would like to reserve 1 minute of my time for rebuttal.
Sure.
Your Honors, we come before the court with just one issue that requires your adjudication. Whether the immigration judge has committed a reversible error when he sustained a factual allegation in a notice to appear without requiring the government to submit any proof of that allegation because the judge mistakenly believed that Mr. Gomez has admitted the allegation. In its brief, as they frequently do in these types of cases, the government argues that the court has no jurisdiction to review the order of removal because it was entered based on criminal convictions. We respectfully disagree. The same statute that bars judicial review of orders of removal against criminal aliens also carves out an exception that allows the court to review constitutional claims and questions of law. In stake in this case is the burden of proof. This is clearly a question of law, and that's why we believe the court can rightfully assert jurisdiction and review the order of removal in this case.
But didn't this whole thing arise because there was confusion on the part of counsel in terms of which conviction to acknowledge actually took place?
Your Honor, I was going to get to that point, but if you wish, I can address it immediately. There was no confusion. The notice to appear, the charging document that is filed with the immigration court, must be absolutely identical to the notice to appear that was served on an alien. In this case, that was not the case. The petitioner, Mr. Gomez, was served with a notice to appear on April 11, 2011. Most interesting factual allegations on that NTA were number 4 and 5. Number 4 alleged that Mr. Gomez was convicted of a drug trafficking offense in 2005. Number 5 alleged that in 1999 he was convicted of a misdemeanor offense of simple possession of cannabis. Some 3 weeks later, the Department of Homeland Security has served on an immigration court, an NTA, that had these two convictions listed in reverse order. That should not have ever happened. The two documents must have been identical. They were not. That's why, looking at his copy of an NTA, Mr. Gomez denied allegation number 4, sincerely believing he was denying the allegation having to do with drug trafficking offense. He admitted allegation number 5, thinking he was admitting to allegations having to do with a misdemeanor offense of simple possession of cannabis. The immigration judge, government attorneys who handled the case on behalf of the Department of Homeland Security throughout proceedings, and even Board of Immigration Appeals, had their version of an NTA that was filed only 3 weeks later. And they must have thought that Mr. Gomez was insane, stubbornly denying a relatively minor offense, yet admitting a very serious charge having to do with drug trafficking offense. I would hate to believe that there was someone at the DHS deliberately fabricating two versions of the same document in order to trick Mr. Gomez or to deceive the courts. I would like to think it was an innocent error on the part of the government. However, no matter how unintentional that error was, it has cost Mr. Gomez and his family very substantial consequences. They were not the ones who made the mistake the government did. They should not be forced to pay the consequences. Because someone at the DHS has produced two versions of what should have been the same document, the immigration judge and subsequently the Board of Immigration Appeals entered order of removal, sustained all factual allegations without requiring the government to meet its burden of proof. That's a reversible error. If you have no questions, I will reserve the rest of my time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Bajoli?
Yes. May it please the court, my name is Lance Jolly. I represent the respondent, the United States Attorney General. This whole thing of a different notice to appear is news to me. This is the first I've heard of this possibility. It's not in the record. You didn't bring it up to the immigration judge. After the immigration judge, in his decision, clearly said that he denied allegation 4 concerning the 1999 conviction. He's failed to exhaust his administrative remedies regarding this claim about the NTA. In any event, he's removable on both of these convictions, whether he denied or whichever one he denied. As to his 1999 marijuana offense, it plainly relates to a controlled substance. Although relief from the offense may be available, such availability is irrelevant to whether petitioner is removable for the offense. And even if petitioner may be eligible for 212H, he remains removable for his 2005 conviction. It also plainly relates to a controlled substance. Even though it was a sentence to boot camp, it remains a conviction for immigration purposes. This basically is all in my brief. So unless the court has any questions for me, the court should dismiss the petition for review.
Thank you, Mr. Jolly. Mr. Kern, do you have anything further?
Your Honors, the proceedings before immigration court are conducted where the respondent and his counsel sit in front of a judge, the government attorney. We respond to questions, make our statements. When it comes to the notice to appear, the judge would ask, do you acknowledge receipt of the notice and proper service? The answer is yes. How do you plead? Your Honor, we have previously pleaded to allegations in writing.
This double document thing that you told us, you never raised it with the immigration judge, never showed it to the government. This is the first time you're arguing that?
Your Honor, you're absolutely correct.
And you're saying you didn't have any chance the whole time you were before the immigration judge to raise this?
Your Honor, I did not see a copy of the document in the court file because it is presumed that the one that was served on my client is identical to that. I have discussed the matter with my colleagues. None of the immigration practitioners I spoke with ever encountered a situation where NTA was different. That's why
So when did you discover it?
Your Honor, it was just literally a few days ago that I've discovered the difference. Again, thinking
even
that
though
either
this has been like the big issue for you all this time, it just never occurred to you to check the record.
Again, I was so certain that the identical copies of the same document had been served on the court and on my client. It never occurred to me. And actually, again, having had the access to administrative record, I saw the NTA. The fact that the two charges were reversed, both charges were listed. The allegations, the factual allegations are exactly the same. It's just that these two were in a reverse order. That did not occur to me until literally a few days ago, at which point I've contacted a couple of colleagues. None of them have ever seen anything like that. This is why it was never brought up. And again, because you presume, and it's a standard practice, that the same document is filed with the court and served on an alien, you don't ask to review the court file if you have your copy. You know that you have exactly the same thing as what the judge has in front of him or her. I would also respectfully disagree with my opponent on the terms of whether it's relevant or not. It is relevant. If the 2005 offense charge in the 90A was not substantiated and we're only dealing with 1999 offense of a one-time possession of less than 30 grams of cannabis, he would have been eligible to apply for several possible forms of relief from removal, including a waiver, again, forgiveness, or at the very least, a voluntary departure where he is allowed to leave the country without creating a record of deportation, and that would make it easier for him to seek readmission to the United States in the future. For someone with two United States citizen children, this is a substantial difference, substantial enough to warrant a grant of this petition for review.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we thank Mr. Jolly as well.